Good morning. All right. Some of you are awake this morning. That's good. We're studying the life of Abraham, and we're going to be, as we continue on in that study, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 20 this morning, if you would turn there. Genesis chapter 20. We'll consider the whole chapter. What I was going to do is read the first nine verses, make some comments, and then take verses 10 through 18 and make some comments, and then have some observations and conclusions about this passage, this chapter, this morning. So we'll be starting at verse 1 through 9 of Genesis 20. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?" Said he unto me, "She is my sister." And she, even she herself, said, "He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this." And God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, "What hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done." And we'll stop right there. Well, in this particular passage, in this chapter, we see that Abraham's on the move again. He is moving south, and he came to the city of Gerar here in verse 1. And Gerar was the capital of the Philistine colony near the seacoast. And there were about five or six cities that the Philistines had during this time. If you were to look on a map and try to find the country of Philistia, that's what it's called, the country of the Philistines, you'll see it in the southwest corner on the seacoast. Years ago, the Philistines were descendants of Ham. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, of course, were the sons of Noah. And Ham was the father of Canaan. The Philistines originally lived on the island of Crete in the Mediterranean Sea, and they migrated to the land of Canaan, and they became a coastal nation. And, of course, as we read in the Old Testament, the Philistines were enemies of the nation of Israel. And also the name of Palestine, maybe you've heard that name, Palestine comes from the word Philistines. And in this particular passage in chapter 20, the name of their king is Abimelech. Now, Abimelech is not a person's name. It's a title. Okay, that's what the Philistines call their rulers, Abimelech, much like Pharaoh in Egypt or king in Israel. Among the Philistines, they called him Abimelech. And we might ask the question in verse 1, what is Abraham doing in Gerar, in the city of the Philistines? Abraham and Sarah were living in a place where they shouldn't have been. Gerar is not in the land of Canaan. Abraham had strayed from the land of Canaan, and he was living amongst a pagan, idol-worshipping people, and they had no desire, of course, to follow the Lord God of Israel. And we recall, as you recall in chapter 12, when we studied that chapter, that Abraham and Sarah went down to Egypt, and they had no business going down there either. So we see that Abraham again is in the wrong place, and we see that the Lord is going to have to rescue him again in this chapter. And I think it's interesting that we keep focusing on the failures and the disobedience of Abraham, and we forget that he is a great man of faith, according to Hebrews 11, if you go back there and read that passage. But here in verse 1, we see that Abraham had strayed to the city of Gerar, the Philistine capital of that area. And we see in verse 2 something else that Abraham is doing, that he the same trick he used in Egypt he is doing here in amongst the Philistines. And he's saying that Sarah is his sister. And this is the same deceitful scheming that he did in chapter 12, as we see in Egypt. In chapter 12, we saw that Abraham said that Sarah was his sister, and that Sarah said that Abraham is my brother. And they did that in order, Abraham was doing that in order to protect himself from the Egyptians. And here he thought he could do the same thing and get away with it, you see. And in verse 3, we see that the Lord intervened on Abraham's behalf in verse 3. The Lord came to Abimelech in a dream, and he said, "Behold, thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. You have taken another man's wife, and you are a dead man." The Lord didn't mince words, did he, with Abimelech? He laid it on the line pretty well. And to his credit, in verse 4, Abimelech had not touched or violated Sarah. In verse 4, he said, but Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, "Will thou slay also a righteous nation? Lord, will you kill a people that are innocent of wrongdoing? I haven't done anything wrong to Sarah. I have not touched her or violated her in any way." And Abimelech went on to say in verse 5, that when Abraham came to me, he said that Sarah was his sister. And Sarah said, told me that Abraham was his brother, was her brother. And so Abimelech claimed his innocence before God. And he was, in this particular case, innocent of any wrongdoing done to Sarah. But the Lord was warning Abimelech here. He was pointing out to him the fact that Abraham and Sarah were special people. You don't touch another man's wife in God's economy. So we see here the Lord is intervening on behalf of Abraham and working things out. And we see in verse 6 that God said to him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her." Again in verse 6, as we've seen in chapter 12, the providential work of God in a believer's life. Now, when I'm talking about God's providence, I'm talking about God ruling in the affairs of our lives, in the events and circumstances of our lives. We see that that's God's providential care over us. Divine providence means there's nothing in our lives that happened by accidents or happenstance or luck or fate or any of those things. It's always a purpose. But in verse 6, the Lord was doing two things here in verse 6. Number one, he was protecting Sarah from being violated by Abimelech. That's one thing he was doing. The second thing that he was doing, he was protecting Abimelech from sinning against God in that verse. So we see that the Lord had a twofold purpose in coming to Abimelech. He was warning him not to touch Sarah, but he was also protecting Sarah because she had gone out from, or Abraham, or she had been taken by the Philistines, and she was no longer under the protection of her husband. And we see in this particular case that Abraham, by his scheming, by not being honest with Abimelech, by trying to manipulate circumstances himself, had put Sarah in a bad place between, as we say, and as the old saying goes, between a rock and a hard place. That's where Sarah was. There was no one to protect Sarah. Abraham could not go to Sarah couldn't go to Abimelech and demand Sarah back because he was a powerful king. The only person, the only one who could help Sarah at this time and protect her from harm was the Lord God. He was the only one. And isn't it true that sometimes in situations we find ourselves in through either fault, sometimes no fault of ourselves, sometimes we're at fault. And sometimes we get in a particular situation that the only person who is going to help us is God himself, that he must intervene divinely in our circumstances, either to rescue us, to teach us a lesson, or whatever. So we see here that God is intervening in the affairs of Abraham and Sarah to bring about the desired result that he wanted. And let's keep in mind, you know, let's remember that Abraham is in a state of disobedience before God. Abraham was and Sarah were in a place where they shouldn't have been. And Abraham was throwing his honesty and his integrity out the window by lying and deceiving to Abimelech. But in verse 7, the Lord told Abimelech, he said, restore the man his wife. And it's interesting in verse 7, this phrase, for he is a prophet. Interesting that the Lord referred to Abraham as a prophet. In other words, Abraham was a spokesman for God. Abraham had a testimony before the Philistines. And we'll talk about that at the end in our conclusions and observations about that. And the Lord further went on, told Abimelech that Abraham will pray for you and you're going to live. However, if you don't release Sarah, you're going to die. And everybody in your family and everybody in your household will die if you don't release Sarah. In verse 8, we see that Abimelech got up early in the morning. He called his servants together and he told them what the Lord had said to him. And we see in verse 8 that the men, they were sore afraid. In other words, they were scared to death. That's what we're talking about here. His servants were scared. They were beyond just feeling nervous. They were frightened for their lives. And you know, if I'd have been a servant of Abimelech about that time, he told me all this stuff, I would say, listen, Abimelech, old friend, old buddy, get Sarah, give her back to Abraham, and do it now. I don't want to die. But one of the things we see here, and we'll mention this also in our conclusions and observations, is that Abimelech believed God. Do you see that in this passage? Here is a pagan, idol-worshipping king, yet he believed that God was going to bring about the result. If he didn't give Sarah back to Abraham, he was going to die. So we see that Abimelech believed God. He knew that God was going to work on Abraham's behalf. And in verse 8, or verse 9 rather, we see that Abimelech called Abraham in to him. In verse 9, he says, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee? And thou hast brought on me, on my kingdom, a great sin, that thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech, I think, was pretty much chewing out Abraham for putting himself in this particular situation and doing things that ought not to be done. You know, Abraham lied to Abimelech. He deceived him. He misled him. And he almost caused Abimelech to lose his life. If Abimelech had not obeyed God and done what the Lord wanted, he would be dead before we even got to verse 9. So we see that Abimelech is very concerned about what was going on. And we see that he demanded an explanation from Abraham. And that brings us to verse 10. Let's read verses 10 through 18. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of the Lord is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. In verse 10, we see that, again, Abimelech is demanding an explanation from Abraham. He said, why have you done this thing to me, Abraham? What is going on? So Abraham, I think, comes clean with Abimelech. He's finally honest in verse 11. He said that Abraham was afraid of dying by the hand of the Philistines, and he knew that the Philistines were not worshipers of the one true God. There is no fear of God in this place, is what Abraham said. And verse 12, Abraham admitted that Sarah was his half-sister, which is the truth, which he didn't tell Abimelech before. And in verse 13, he mentioned the fact that that he asked Sarah to show kindness to him by pretending to be his sister, in verse 13. And I think Abraham here is trying to come clean. He was being honest before Abimelech. And before that, I mean, but when he arrived in the country of the Philistines, he was engaged in deception, lying, and dishonesty. That's exactly what Abraham had done. And in verse 14, we see that Abimelech gave a lot of nice presents and gifts to Abraham. Gave him some sheep and oxen, men servants, women servants. And he gave Sarah back to him in verse 14. And we may ask ourselves, you know, why is Abimelech giving all these gifts to Abraham at this time? And we'll talk about that in our observations and conclusions. And Abimelech, verse 15, invited Abraham to live in his country. Abraham, you can live anywhere you want to. Wherever it pleases you, you can go there and live there. And in verse 16, and he told Sarah in verse 16, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. In addition to all the livestock and the servants that Abimelech had given Abraham, he gave him 1,000 pieces of silver. Personally, I like the silver better than the cows and sheep, if I had a choice. But anyway, I heard some of you chuckle, but that's okay. But you know, he gave Abraham 1,000 pieces of silver, and said in verse 16 that that he is thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other, and thus she was approved. What Abimelech essentially is saying to Abraham here, and to Abraham and Sarah, is that Sarah's honor as a married woman is intact, and that Sarah was never violated by Abimelech. And I think there's something we'll talk about, the what's going on there in our conclusions and observations. And interesting to note in verse 17 and 18 that there's something else that God was doing to Abimelech. He was making his wife and all his concubines, his female slaves, and that he had children by these women, they were not getting pregnant anymore because the Lord had taken them and closed their, as it says, closed their wombs up. In other words, they couldn't have babies. They couldn't have children. And this was something else that the Lord was doing to Abimelech. But in verse 17, we see that Abraham prayed for Abimelech. And of course, God opened up he heard Abraham's prayer. He answered it and gave the power to conceive and to get, for these women, concubines, to get pregnant again. So we see that the Lord worked everything out for Abraham in this particular case. Well, let's go to some conclusions and observations here. Number one is, you know, Abraham engaged in, and as I mentioned before, in the same deception that he had done in Egypt. And there was a pattern here for Abraham. You know, when he was in a tough situation, he lied and deceived to get out of it. Abraham tried to manipulate circumstances without including God in the process. And brothers and sisters in Christ, isn't that what we do sometimes? I've done that. You've done that. I know you have. And pretty soon we try to manipulate circumstances. We try to get out from under what's going on, the bad things that are going on in our lives. And pretty soon we get ourselves in a big mess and we got to go back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I confess my sin. Thank God we have a God that forgives. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for the forgiveness of our God. And we see here that Abraham engaged in the same deception he had done in chapter 12 when he went down to Egypt. Another observation and conclusion here I think we see is that Abraham had a testimony before the Philistines. As I said before, the Philistines were a pagan idol-worshipping king, or idol-worshipping people. And they had no respect for the Lord. But in verse 7, that phrase, if you remember that phrase in verse 7, the Lord told Abimelech that Abraham, he is a prophet. In other words, Abraham was supposed to represent the Lord to the Philistines. Abraham was the divinely appointed spokesman for God. I wonder what Abimelech thought of Abraham. You know, when Abraham stood before him and he demanded an explanation from him. I don't know what was going through his mind. But do you think that the testimony that Abraham had given before Abimelech and the Philistines, do you think that was a God-honoring testimony? No. It couldn't have been. And you know, in a world in which we live, if we tell other people, if you tell somebody that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you follow Him in your life, that He is Lord of your life, they're going to be watching you. They're going to be watching you. They're going to be watching to see if there's any reality in what you say, in what you believe. They're going to be watching to see, is Jesus Christ real in that person's life? We have a testimony before the world. Wherever you're at, whether you're on the job, whether you're at school, whether in your home, in your community, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, we have a testimony to a watch before a watching world. Abraham had a testimony before the Philistines. He blew it big time, didn't he? But we see that the Lord rescued Abraham and restored him. Thank God for that. But we see that in our testimony, you know, we can't use deceptive things. We can't lie to people. We can't deceive them. We can't mislead them. We can't cut corners. We have to be honest and open with the unsaved people, non-Christians of the world. That is part of our testimony as believers in Jesus Christ. The Lord will have it no other way. Anything we say and do must be for His glory and His honor. And Abraham was put in a situation where he his testimony before Abimelech and the Philistines that he could have reflected the Lord God of Israel, but he didn't, sadly. Another conclusion, observation we see here, as I mentioned before, that question, why did Abimelech give gifts to Abraham and invite him to live among the Philistines? Well, I believe that Abimelech had gotten a glimpse of the power of the one true God. We see in those dreams that God had revealed himself to Abimelech. And here's a pagan, idol-worshipping king saying, Lord this and Lord that. And, you know, Abimelech recognized the authority of God in this particular situation. Now, this does not necessarily mean he became a believer in the Lord God and followed after him. He may have gone back to his idols. But we see here that Abimelech was showing respect to Abraham. He allowed him to have some livestock and some of his servants and to live in his land. But at the same time, Abimelech had realized the God of Abraham was a powerful God. He was an authoritative God. He had authority. Those idols that Abimelech was worshiping and serving, they were worthless and no good. And there was only one true God, as we understand it in the Old Testament, and that's the Lord God himself. Another thing that we can observe in this passage, as I mentioned before, is the divine providence of God. The Lord was ruling in Abraham's life and circumstances in this passage. We see that. And we see that there was only one person who could rescue Abraham. There was only one person who could get Sarah out of the fix that she was in, and that was the Lord. The Lord intervened on Abraham's behalf. Does not God, brother, sister in Christ, does he not intervene on our behalf? Does he not do that? Doesn't God in our circumstances, in the events that happen in our life, isn't God ruling in our lives and in our minds, in our hearts? You know, we have to recognize the hand of God. We see so clearly here in chapter 20 that the hand of God is manifest, is being revealed in Abraham's life very clearly and plainly. It's divine providence. You know, nothing escapes the Lord's attention in our life. Even the minutest, smallest detail of our life is known by God. So we see at the same time that's both comforting and scary. It's scary in the fact that God knows everything about us, our thoughts, our motives. That's kind of scary. He knows our thoughts that we would never tell people. He knows all about that. But at the same time, God loves us. The Lord loves us as his people. He wants the best for us, and he will intervene on our behalf in our lives, just like he did with Abraham. Another thing I think we see here is the Lord protected a woman whose husband had set aside his responsibilities. You know, Abraham was willing to put Sarah in a dangerous situation. In a marriage, the wife, the only protector of the wife outside of the Lord in a marriage situation is her husband. Abraham had taken that responsibility that he had, and he had put it aside. He had put Sarah in a dangerous situation. He had ruined his testimony before a pagan idol-worshipping people. And Abraham was in a bad fix when he was willing to put Sarah in that particular situation. We see here that Sarah was very submissive to Abraham. She went along with his schemes, what he was going to do. I don't know. We don't know whether Sarah warned Abraham or not, said, honey, you're not making the right decision here. Husbands and wives call each other honey sometimes. You're not making the right decision here. You know, let's don't do this. Let's ask the Lord for help. Well, you know, we don't know if Sarah mentioned that or not, but she was submissive to her own husband in this particular case. But the only one who could protect Sarah in this case was the Lord. She couldn't rely on her husband. She was separated from him. The only one who could protect Sarah in this situation and get her out of it was the Lord. And he did, didn't he? He protected Sarah from being violated by Abimelech, and he got Sarah back to her husband. That's what God had done for them in this particular situation. And I think another thing that's going on here is the Lord was making certain that Sarah would bear no child except Abraham's child. You know, if Sarah was a part of that part of Abimelech's household, he could have gotten her pregnant. You know, I mean, that's his right as king. They could do anything to anybody they wanted to. But we see, because of the Lord's protection, he made sure that the next child that Sarah was going to have was going to be Abraham's child, the son of promise. And I think it's interesting that we see in this passage how God works. We see how God has taken the tapestry of Abraham's life. And you know what a tapestry is. If you look at it, you'll see there's millions of threads in this tapestry. You take one thread and out of it, and you can't really think that one thread is going to make a difference. Because in the tapestry, it looks so beautiful. Everything is, all the colors are there, and there's images, and there's a picture being made in a tapestry. And isn't that what God is doing with our lives? Is he not the great weaver of our lives? God takes each thread of our lives and ever so lovingly and ever so carefully, he weaves his grand design for each one of us. Isn't that great? The good things, the bad things, the tough times, the hard times. He will take those things, he will take the threads of our life and make his rich tapestry for himself, that we may glorify him. Sad to say, Abraham let the Lord down here, as we have, as you and I have. But at the same time, God is taking those threads, even those threads of disobedience in Abraham's life, and making him a tapestry for God. He is weaving those threads. He is coming to Abraham and Sarah's rescue. He is revealing himself to Abimelech. He is protecting Sarah from being violated. God was not pleased with what Abraham had done. Let's make no mistake about that. But God will take these things. The Lord will take these threads of our lives, even the smallest thread that we think is insignificant, he will take that and weave that in to his tapestry, that the finished product may glorify God. That's what he wants in each one of our lives, to glorify him. Our time is up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we see your hand so wonderfully in your word, and we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come to your word and be instructed this morning. And we just pray that what has been said, that will have an impact not only in the hearts of the people here, but in my heart too, Father. And we pray, Lord, that as you weave the tapestry of our lives, that it may see to a watching world, a watching world that is so desperate, that is so hopeless, that they will see Jesus Christ, our Lord, in each one of our lives. We pray for that, Father, that our blessed Savior will be revealed in each one of our lives to a watching world. We commit ourselves into him who has loved us and died for us. We commit ourselves unto him who shed his blood on the cross for our sins, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.